Let's hope the message is not as long as the announcements. Eh? Good morning, everybody. I'd like you all to go to your Bibles. Today we're going to be reading the Word. And we're going to ask God to open the Word to us and show us what He's saying. So today we're going to go, if you can turn with me to Exodus 19. We'll start there. But before we get there, I'd just like to set a bit of a foundation. So today's message is about seeing God for who He is. All right, and we sang amazing songs this morning, and one of them was, Show Me Your Glory. If we've got time, we're going to sing it afterwards. Show Me Your Glory. And until we've seen the glory of God, we will never understand our need for Him. And we've been talking about moving out of and letting go of certain things in order to enter into. So Mark's been sharing a theme. It's called Abide in Me. And I'm reminded when I read the Word and I speak to people how difficult it can be to abide in Him. But in the Word, it teaches us how to abide, which is remain in someone's presence, dwelling with, staying close, a perfect relationship. The Word teaches us this relationship to God where He sets the boundaries, not us. James 4:8 gives us a clue of what we're going to read in Exodus. James 4:8 is a powerful book. And verse 8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So Jesus has made the way for us. He's given us salvation. He's redeemed us. But there is us, a drawing near to God. We got to continually draw near to God. And sometimes we think, well, Jesus has done it all. I sit back and relax. And that's not the case. We're going to see in the Word. And then He shows us how we draw near to God. It goes on to say, we love to say, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. But then it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you doubters. He wasn't speaking to the world. He was speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. If you read James, you'll see it goes on and says, brethren. So we need to see the standard that God calls us to enter into His presence. Now, as we read Exodus, I just want you to do a few things. Okay, take out your pens, take out your cokies, and make notes in your Bible. Underline them and highlight certain words. I want you to identify with the story and the people as we go through Exodus and what you can learn from it. So I'm going to give you key words, but as I'm reading the Word and as you're reading the Word, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal Jesus to you. That is the beautiful thing about the Word, is when we open it, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ, and Christ glorifies the Father so that we can see His glory. In order, we learn from the word in order that we can make changes in our own life. Okay, who chose the songs today? They were prophetic. Whatever songs we sang today just really were amazing, and it was just speaking about our relationship to God. And we need to continually change our lives so that we can continually abide more in God, so that we can become more like Him. So the objective of today is to see God for who He is, okay? So think about that. Our objective for today is to see who God is, okay? To realize our need for Him. Because we can see God and sometimes we don't realize our need for God. So I'm praying today the Scriptures will show us our need for God and that we got to come to Him on His terms. You'll see how often we try and come to God on our own terms. It doesn't work. I'm praying that it brings us to a place of repentance. We got to continually repent, church, of our old ways and our old habits. We need to continue let go in order to enter in. So we're entering into a new kingdom, but we've come out of a world. And the only way that we can enter into the kingdom, into grasp of it, is to let go of certain things. And that is the difficult thing. All right, and we're going to see it in the Word. And I pray that this causes us to turn away from this world and more towards God. So that's going to be the object of today, okay? So let's focus on this as we go through the Word. All right, we're going to start in Exodus 19 from verse 1. I have asked for it to be up. Those are some of the words and scriptures that I've highlighted to stand out. I have put it on the screen because I'm reading from the New King James Version. Maybe you're reading from a different version, so sometimes it's difficult to follow me. All right. So what has happened is God has led the Israelites out of Egypt. They were in bondage and slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered them through Moses, and he took them into the wilderness, and he brought them to a mountain called Mount Sinai. And this story that we're going to go through all happens at the base of Mount Sinai. It is an awesome story. It's incredible, and we're going to go through it. And we see as God brings these people to Mount Sinai, he wants to engage with them. God continually wants to engage with us. But as we go through the story, let's learn how we see what happens to man's heart. Because this is a story of God's continually wanting to draw close to us. Let's see what we can learn. Let's see the standard that's required to enter into the presence of God. And let's allow the word to speak to us. Right. Exodus 19, 1 to 22. In the third month, 3 months after they left Israel, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt to go into something, they came to the wilderness. They came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him. The Lord calls to us. He called to Moses from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." We are the children of God. Have you seen? Underline seen, because it's an important thing. Have you seen what I did to the Egyptians? And how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is the story of God taking us out and wanting to bring us to himself. Now therefore, these are important words. If you will indeed obey my voice, important key, and keep my covenant. So God gives clear instructions. Then you shall be a special treasure to me. Can you see the condition? Above all people, for all earth is mine. God is sovereign. There's an argument about sovereign. He is sovereign. Earth is all his. He's in control of everything. And then he goes on to say, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A promise from God. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Awesome, isn't it? Moses is going to deliver this awesome message to the people. Can you see there's a two-way relationship here? There's something that's required by us and there's something that God will do. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the word which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Praise God. They said, what God has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And he told him, and the Lord says to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, because the Lord's going to appear to the people. We come into the Lord's presence often, should do, every day. What does he say? I'm coming down so that the people can hear me. Go and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Can you see how awesome God is? How holy he is? The way we got to consecrate ourselves, we got to wash ourselves, and let them be ready for the third day. So there's a preparation for God's presence. I can tell you nothing has changed. And let them, for the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. God wants to be seen by all people. And we are the body of Christ, and the people see God through us, me and you, as we consecrate ourselves and as we wash ourselves. You shall set bounds for the people all around. So God set the boundaries, saying, take heed of yourself. Now listen to this, that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. God's glory was going to come upon that mountain, and he said, I'm holy and I'm so awesome that people can't even touch the base of the mountain whilst my glory rests upon it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Do not come to me with unclean hands, unless you have washed and unless you have consecrated yourself. And he says, whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. You see, there's consequences when God gives us a commandment. If we go out of those boundaries, there's consequences. Lord, why am I going through this? Why is this situation? Why is this circumstance? Because God has set boundaries. When we move out of those boundaries, there are consequences. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people and washed their clothes. He did what the Lord commanded him to do. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Be focused. The Lord is coming. He takes priority. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. When God's presence comes to us, it is awesome. It is amazing. It's not just this, oh, Lord is here. All right, there's a trembling. There's a thundering. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. Family, we are to meet with God. God wants to meet with us, and we are to meet with him. But there's a way that we do it. So God meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Guys, I want your eyes to be opened of this God of ours. It wasn't just this man that came down and sat on top of the mountain. He came down in smoke and fire, in thunder and in lightning. God who created the earth, our God. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke to God, saying, answering him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. We're going to stop it there until I move into the next, to Exodus 20, verse 1 to 6. So we can see there's rules of engagement which Christ has done for us. Christ has opened the way. He's redeemed us so that we can enter into the holy place, so we can enter into God's presence. But there's terms of engagement. It requires a reverence. Okay? When we come into this God's presence, he is God. He's a holy and mighty God, and we are privileged. Jesus Christ has brought us into his presence. He's a magnificent God. He's majestic and he's holy. We need to be in a certain state of mind and attitude when we approach God. Thor and I were talking. There was somebody that came to us and they were saying, and I was praying to God and I said to him, dude, can you just do this? God is not a dude. He's not a my China. He's not this. He's God and he's awesome and he's glorious. And when we come into his presence, there's a preparation and a reverence that is needed. There's a separation. It's serious business. So let's learn more about God. Exodus 20, verse 1 to 6. And God spoke all these words, saying, now he's preparing the people for his meeting and for them meeting him. And he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. They were in there for 400 years. God made a way. We saw the miracles that he performed and the plagues that he sent. And he brought them out. And then he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Underline that in your Bible and highlight. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. We are the people of God, and this is what God commanded. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Okay? We can see two sides here. You're either on God's side or you're not. Here's the consequences. But the good news is, thank you, Jesus, but showing mercy to thousands for those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay, there's a stepping up here of standard, church, and obey my commandments. So we see our position in God and we see our relationship to God. God knows our hearts, you see, and he says, and I was thinking about it, you know, we don't carve idols anymore. People make them for us. They're called TVs, they're called cell phones, they're called cars, they're called houses. It might be pride, it might be position, it might be fame. These are all the idols in our lives. How many of us go and do quiet time, but our cell phone's still in our pocket, and we see a WhatsApp, and we're busy praying to this awesome God, and we just quickly check our WhatsApp or something like that. All right, so there's a standard here that God is requiring from us. Let's move on to Exodus 20, verse 18 to 20. Okay, are you seeing a pattern? And really, as I'm reading this, let's identify with this and ourselves and our relationship. Now, all the people witnessed the thunderings and lightnings and flashes. They witnessed it. They saw God. They saw his power. They saw his awesomeness. They saw him above this mountain. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. So sometimes we see God's awesomeness, we see his power and the glory. The question is, where are you standing? Are you approaching it, or are you standing afar off? Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak to us." Check yourself on this. Do you prefer other people to speak on your behalf? Do you like other people to pray for you? Do you like to sit here? Do you like to hear the word through a second party? Because God requires you to come to him. You speak to him, lest we die. Why? Because there's a cost involved. They saw the cost when they saw Moses, what is involved to come into God's presence and see his glory. It was easier for them to stand off afar. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you." You see, we go through tests. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. We go through these circumstances and situations because God is testing us. Are we going to stand off afar, or are we going to enter into his presence? Why? So that he's come to test you, that his fear may be for you, so that you may not sin. God is continually causing us not to sin and come into his presence by putting tests before us. Okay? "Lord, I love you. I'll come into your presence." He puts a test. Do we go off afar? No, it's there so that we do not sin. You know, we say, you know, God is a God of love. You know, not a God of fear. And I understand that. But God does not tolerate sin. And Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom." Some Bibles say knowledge, and some Bibles even say understanding. We need to come to God with a place of fear. Have we become a bit laxed? Have we become a bit complacent? Have we become a bit familiar with this God, this awesome God who sent his son to die for us? All right, let's move on to Exodus 24, verse 7. God is continually building our faith. So what he does is I'm moving quickly through Exodus, but this is what God does. Then Moses gave Moses commandments. He took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people. He read the commandments of God. He read the laws of God. He read the precepts of God. He read the ways of God to the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." Okay, so Moses was covering them with the word. He was washing them with the word. And what did it do? It built up their faith. And they were courageous enough to say, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." Amen? We do that. We read the word. We praise up, put up our hands. We say, "All that the Lord has done, we will do." We see him. We see his glory. You see, the word of God demands obedience. And when we abide in the word, it keeps us in obedience. I'm going to say that again. The word of God demands obedience. And when we're in the word of God, it keeps us in obedience. When we stray from the word of God, we go astray. We're going to learn it. It also builds up our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word. Exodus 24, verse 12 to 18. is a waiting period. We're going to see a waiting period here and a testing of the people of God. This happens to us. We go through these times. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I've written, that you may teach them. You see, when we come up to the presence of God, he gives us commandments and laws so that we can apply them to ourselves and teach others. Whenever we come into the presence of God, he gives us laws, he gives us commandments. He teaches us why? So that we can let go of and enter into a better way, a right way. For us, it says God will make us a people where he will write the law in our hearts and place them in our minds. He'll take his hearts of stone away and give us hearts of flesh. You see, he's continually writing the law in our hearts and in our minds. But it takes coming up to him and being in his presence in order for it to get into our hearts. So Moses arose. There was an action. He arose. He got up. Arise, church. With the assistance of Joshua, and Moses went up. You see, there was a direction that he went. I'm asking, what direction are we going? Guys, this message talks to me. I'm really not just talking. This message spoke to me, and it shook me up as well. What direction am I going? Moses went up towards the Lord, to the mountain of God. Not any other mountain, because we go to other mountains. But God wants us to come to the mountain where he is. And Moses said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Ur are with you. If any man is difficult, let him go to them. So he left order in there. He said, I'm going. There's going to be difficulties. You go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And listen to this, verse 17. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So they were at the bottom of the mountain. Moses went up, but God was there like a consuming fire on top of the mountain for all Israel to see, his people. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud. You see, Moses knew how to abide with God. He knew how to separate himself. He knew how to endure. And he went up to God. And he went up to Moses. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. That's not a long time. 40 days. 40 nights. So in that reading, I want to ask, have we come familiar with God? Or is his presence still a consuming fire in your life? Do we still see God as this consuming fire, or have we become familiar? Is he just, dude, pal, China, thanks, Lord, Father, you know, he's his Father. Is he a consuming fire? Is he awesome and mighty? So there is a coming up that we see. We see Moses arising. We see him going up. And it releases the truth of God's words to us. Now, I know we don't have these mountaintop moments all the time, but we should be having them. We should be having these mountaintop areas where we're coming to the presence of God so it carries us up for the rest of the time when we're down in the mountain. Then we go up to the mountain and we have these moments of God where he writes the law in our hearts, where we consecrate ourselves, where we separate ourselves. Maybe it's in the mornings, every single morning, maybe like Jesus did, so that it sustains us for the rest of the day. So I'm not expecting us to remain on the mountaintop all the time. It's moments that we go up and we have these times with this awesome, amazing God so that when we come down, we can deal with what God wants us to deal with in the world. So Moses has gone for 40 days. Let's turn to Exodus 32, verse 1 to 14. This is an amazing chapter. God does this to reveal man's heart, to reveal what is in our hearts. What really we say, Lord, we will be obedient to all your commandments. Then God does certain things to reveal what's in our heart. Hear what happens here. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, God sometimes delays in our life. He's sometimes silent. He sometimes keeps quiet. The people gathered to Aaron, not even 40 days had gone past. Come make us gods that shall go before us. Come make us gods that will go before us. They were in the sight of the consuming fire. They had just said they're going to be obedient to the ways of God. Moses had gone up. What do they do? What is in man's heart? Make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. First problem they had, their focus was on man and not on God. They didn't say, where is God? What's God doing? They said, where is Moses? Never focus on man. Let our eyes be on God. And Aaron, can you believe it? Says to them, break off your golden earrings. And this is the thing about Aaron. What did he do wrong? He gave ear to man. You know, people come to us and they build up our pride. And they speak to us. And Aaron, wow, sure, the people are coming to me. And pride filled him. And he took his eyes off God. And he gave ear to the wrong people, to the wrong crowds. And he said, break off your golden earrings of your wives and your sons and daughters, bring them to me. So all the people broke off the earrings that were on their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and Aaron, fashioned it with an engraving tool, even told us how to do it, and made a molded calf. I mean, you know, we can look at this and say, I can't believe this. They've just been in the presence of God. They've trembled, they've shaken. There's the power of God consuming fire. And here they are making a golden calf. God's just delivered them from their captives. Then they said, this is your God, to the golden calf. They said, as a people of Israel, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. How quickly doubt and deception entered into their hearts. What did they do? They dropped their eyes and they weren't seeing that consuming fire. They were looking in the wrong places. So when Aaron saw it, okay, so Aaron's eyes were on God, and what did he see? He saw this golden calf. And when he looked at the wrong things, when we look at the wrong things in our lives, and we focused on the wrong things, these idols that come into our lives, he built an altar before it. So not only did he see the make this calf, he then built an altar before it. We do that. I do it. Sometimes take my eyes off God and I see there's something else and I start to build an altar before it. Yet this awesome consuming God is calling me. Then Aaron saw it and built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation. Aaron said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Don't be confused. This was not the right Lord. This was a different Lord. This was a golden calf. This wasn't the Lord that they were going to serve. Make sure that the Lord that comes out of our mouth is the God, the creator of heavens and earth. So they rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. The very thing that God had taught them to do to him, they brought to the idol. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And if you read some of the commentaries, that playing is into orgies and sexual acts and profanity that they had learned from Egypt when they dwelt amongst Egypt. You see, they ran after the desires of their own flesh and they set the boundaries. They stepped out of God's boundaries. And what we do with idols, we often set our own boundaries and expect to serve God. We can't. We've got to serve God within his boundaries. And the Lord said to Moses, God knows what's going on. He's not blind. He said, go down for your people whom you brought. Now God says to Moses, the people who you brought, okay, he was bringing accountability to Moses, out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Okay, nothing corrupts us. We corrupt ourselves. We turn from God. They have turned aside quickly. 40 days, not even 40 days, they've turned aside. Out of the way which I commanded them. They've made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that has brought you out the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. What does stiff-necked mean? Stubborn and rebellious. I can identify with that. Do it. I can be stubborn, I can be rebellious, and I can be stiff-necked against my God. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them, that I may consume them. And then he says to Moses, and I will make you a great nation. Isn't this amazing? He offers Moses something. He says, all my covenants I will take away, and I'm going to consume all the people, and out of you I'm going to make a great nation. The very promise that he gave Abraham. Now we're going to see a righteous heart at work, a heart of Moses, a heart that Jesus Christ has given us. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God. How many times does God offer us things and say, Craig, you go, you take this. I say, thank you, Lord. Yo, that's it. Consume them. You know, take me on. Let me be the father of all the nations. Moses, no. No, Lord. He pleaded with God. He had the right heart. He loved the people and he knew God's covenants. And he said, so Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? He reminded God, these are your people, Lord, not my people. They are your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, not me. It's your might, it's you, it's your power that did it, not me. You see, Moses was focused on the right thing, not on himself, but on God. He said, and you brought them out of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Moses knew God. Moses knew God's hand and he knew his might. And then, this was a testimony and a witness. He said to the Lord, why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them and kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? He realized we've got a purpose to shine the light to the world. Why would you consume us so that the world can say, look, your God didn't look after you? You see, not for the people. He wanted to witness and he wanted to draw all people unto God. It was an action of Jesus. Moses is a type of Jesus, if we read. That does that for you and I and has given us the same heart. And then he says to the Lord, we ask, Lord, you know, let's pray according to God's will. This is praying according to God's will. This is getting God's heart and praying according. He says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, your servants, to whom you swore. He's reminding God of his covenant. He's praying according to God's will. He's saying, Lord, I'm reminding you your will and your covenant. That you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I've spoken of, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Moses knew, no, Lord, you said something, you made a promise, and you will fulfill it. He didn't say, yeah, good, let's cancel it out. We need to stick on God's word and on his covenant and on his promises. Let's go to Exodus 32, 21 to 24. Let's identify ourselves with this case. What happens here? Very interesting. Exodus 32, 21 to 24. And Moses said to Aaron, so Moses came back down, they had built the calf, and the people were worshiping it. So Moses says to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great sin upon them? So I see something here, that the consequences of our giving ear to people can lead people into sin. You and I are the church. We are the body of Christ. And when we do things wrong, it leads multiple people into sin. Okay? So we've got great accountability to God to lead them the right way. He led them all into sin. He could have stopped it. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord, and he was speaking to Moses, respect for each other, become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. What does Aaron do? He blames other people. It's them, Lord, Moses. So he blames them. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us as for this Moses. You see, we blame people for forcing us to do certain things. And there's no excuses. The man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. They said this. And I said to them, whoever has gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me and I cast a fire and this calf just popped out. He wasn't taking responsibility for his actions. There wasn't repentance here. And often we come and we bring accountability to each other, but we make excuses, we make lies. He engraved it, he molded it, he made it. And he says, I don't know, it just popped out of the fire. When we see our faults. We need to acknowledge it and we need to repent, because our God is gracious and mighty to forgive us and to restore us. So he lied. You see, pride set in. Always in idol worship, man is glorified. You see, Aaron went along with this idol worship because he was being glorified. He was the man of the moment. So we've got to be careful of that and we've got to learn from that. Exodus 33, verse 1 to 3. God tests Moses' heart again, you see, and wants Moses to compromise. So watch this compromise here in this in Exodus 33, 1 to 3. Then the Lord says to Moses, so now this has all happened. He says, depart and go up from here. You and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. So God says, fine, I told them I will give them the inheritance and take them into the land. And I will send, so now God's testing Abraham. He says, I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go in your midst. I'm not going anymore with you, lest I consume you on the way. You guys have missed it. He says, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people, stubborn and disobedient. Now, it would have been easy for Moses to say, thank you, Lord, sure. You know, we've sinned before you. Thank you, you're going to take us in. You're not coming with us. Thank you, we will go. That wasn't good enough for Moses. How often do we pray to God, feel saying, leading us somewhere, and we feel God's not with us, but we say, it's okay, Lord. You know, you make a way, but I don't really need you to come with me. Too much sacrifice. You know, there's too much required. So can you make a way for me so I can partake of your benefits? But if you remain behind, that's okay. I'll serve you and I'll do this, but without you. You see, this wasn't good enough for Moses. Exodus 33, 12 to 17, and we're coming to a close. We can see the actions of a righteous heart. So Moses says to the Lord, and I'm actually going to jump a little bit forward, and he says in down verse 12, he says, I know you by name, and I know I've also found grace in your sight. You see, Moses knew his dependency was on God, and he said, I cannot do it without your help. You see, sometimes we want to go where God sent us and say, you know what, Lord, you've shown me where to go, but it's fine now, I'll go. Moses said, no, I need your help. I'm dependent on you. He says in verse 13, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, grace. We need to find grace in our Father's sight. Show me now your way. We need to ask God for his grace and to show us his way, that I may know you. You see, this whole walk that we're doing is that we may know God. We get lost up and caught up in all these other things, in the benefits, in this and that, but all it is that we may know God and God may know us. That's what it's all about, a relationship with a father and his children and the children's relationship with their father. Beautiful and awesome. And that I may find grace in your sight. And then he says, and consider that this nation is your people. So Moses doesn't only say, not only for me, but Lord, for all of us. See, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love others. See, Moses not only loved the Lord, but he loved all his people, and he wanted them to come in. So he says, and your people, and then what did God say to him? He saw his heart, and he says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. You see, Moses gave him the right attitude, gave him the right heart, and God said, I will go with you, because you want me to go with you. Let's go to the last scripture, Exodus 34, verse 5-9. And this is the closing scripture, which just summarizes what we've just gone through and what I hope God is revealing in your heart, and that we're seeing how awesome he is and who we are and our need and our dependence for him. Exodus 34, verse 5-9. See, here's the attitude of man to his God. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him. we were singing, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, let me enter into your holy of holies. And I'm asking, is it really the cry of our heart to dwell with God, to be with him, to allow him to be with us? Because when our attitude is right and we come to him with the right attitude, according to his boundaries, God comes to us. It says, God stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to him. Lord, show us your glory. Lord, I cannot do it without you, we were singing. Lord, show me your face. Is that the cry of our hearts? And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth. This is our marvelous God when we push into his presence, when we learn to put the sacrifices one side and move with our God, we will see him as he is. We will see God as he is. And then God shows his goodness. He says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins. By no means, but then he says, God shows his heart, those who are for him. And then he says again, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. He's a righteous God, and he's the judge of all things. Moses realizes this when God shows him his glory and shows him his goodness and his righteousness, but then he shows him his judgments and his wrath. What does Moses do when he sees God? So Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. Saw God for who he is. I don't know. You know, sometimes I wake up and I sit in my bed and I grab my Bible and I read to this God. Yeah, maybe I need to bow down. Maybe I need to make haste, kneel before him and worship. He's a mighty and awesome God. Then he said, Moses says to God, if now I've found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go amongst us. We need you, Lord. Go amongst us. Even though we are a stiff-necked people, and here's the thing, yes, we realize who we are, but pardon our iniquity and our sin. You see, he confesses. He confesses who he is, and he asks for forgiveness. And take us into your inheritance. Amen. So as we sum all this up, I ask that you identify yourself with the story. See where you are. Do you see God in a new way and a new light? Have you had a revelation for him? Do you maybe need to confess areas in your life that you've neglected, that you haven't let go of, so that you can move into God's presence? And do you need to dismantle certain things in your life? Change certain things so that you can walk with God and he can stand by you. Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we just thank you for your awesomeness. We thank you for who you are. Father, we thank you that you have always raised the bar. We thank you that the standard has always been perfected, perfection with you. But Father, thank you that we have stumbled. Sometimes we're stiff-necked, stubborn, and we've neglected your ways. But Father, we want to confess our sins before you. We want to say you're an awesome and a mighty God, a God to be revered, a God where we need to make haste and fall down on our faces and bow before and worship. And may we come in a way that is cleansing, in a way that we consecrate ourselves, in a way where we wash ourselves, in a way where we abide in your word so it keeps us in obedience. May we see you and we know your consuming presence all the time. May we and not down. May we see you for who you are and may we come up to you. We have moments on the mountaintop that you just endure with us, where you make us glow, where we see your glory, so that when we come down amongst the people, we can teach them your ways. We can show this world who you are. We can shine the light and we can be better. Father, we ask for you to empower us. We need you, Lord. We cannot do it on our own. And we try to do it on our own and we've neglected you. Lord, we turn from our old ways. We turn from the world. We go of these old idols, these things that have held us back, these things that have ensnared us, the stick that we saw that you are sharpening, Father, and we move into your presence. We want to worship you. We want to see you. We want to know your glory. We want to gaze upon your face. And Father, the most of all, we want to have a relationship with you. May we know you as the God of us, of your children. And may, Lord, may you be a Father, but in a way that we come to you with reverence and with holiness and with righteousness. We thank you for Jesus who has done it for us. Father, may we go from this place in a different attitude. May we go in this place, but we know that you go with us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.